India is a member of WTO. WTO was set up in 95 and has 166 member countries. It's the global watchdog for exports and imports globally. And some of the trade agreements that India has signed are the Asia-Pacific Trade Agreement. As I mentioned, they are signing one which is with the European with Switzerland, which would be the EFTA, which would include Switzerland, Norway, Iceland, and Liechtenstein, which would benefit India significantly. To understand how much thought process and thinking goes into these RTAs and these FTAs, keep in mind that this FTA being signed with Switzerland has involved almost 15 to 16 years of negotiations and discussions, after which India is on the verge of signing now, and Switzerland has submitted to its parliament its decision to sign this agreement with India. Once signed, India would stand to get $100 billion of investment over 15 years. So obviously, India is not giving access to its markets for free. We are getting our pound of flesh in terms of making it mutually beneficial, which we are conscious of. So when we do not see a benefit which justifies being part of a bloc or signing a free trade agreement, for example, like the RPEC, then we have chosen not to join those. So wherever we have joined, there has been a very conscious, long drawn out thought process and philosophy where we have seen a very significant upside for us, rather than just being part of a bloc and not getting our due. So there is the Indian ASEAN free trade agreement. The ASEAN bloc, as I already told you, is the association of Southeast Asian nations, signified by, characterized by rapid urbanization, rapid increase in literacy, almost 30% upside there. So very beneficial for India to be having an FTA. Then the global system of trade preferences, the South Asia Free Trade Agreement. So India has a lot of trade agreements, and in all, with the current ones under discussion, once signed, we will have some sort of preferential trade agreement with almost 120 countries in the world. Right now, we already have a preferential arrangement through various treaties with about 94, 95 countries in the world. And once the current under discussion agreements are signed, that would go up to another 120, to almost 120 countries. Some of the other FTAs, regional FTAs, are with India and Korea, Indo-Sri Lanka, India, Singapore. I was mentioning to you about our Prime Minister visiting Singapore and Brunei this month. And during those discussions, significant amount of investment commitments being made into India, be it investment, be it for arrangement for digital payments provision, be it space technology. So across the spectrum, you see tie-ups and collaboration. Then there is the India-Japan SEPA and the BIMSTEC, which is under negotiation. Again, EEFT has been, Switzerland has already submitted to its parliament its intention to sign that. So any day it should be signed and come into effect. When we saw the graph on the FTA signed globally, we saw very clearly how the number of FTA signed globally had markedly gone up in the early to mid-90s. Likewise, if you remember the latter part of the graph, then the trajectory again seems to be becoming steeper, with more and more FTAs being signed across the globe and also for India specifically. Now, coming to summarizing this discussion, there is a lot of there are a lot of factors which India has to take into account. not just from an economic point of view, but we are a country that geographically is in a position where we have neighbors where there is hostility, neighbors where, you know, the economic, we are all heavy competitors. When it comes to China, we would like to be, when the world is taking the stand of China plus one strategy, then we would like to be that plus one. But having said that, we have a long way to go. Also, we have to keep in mind that while there is bilateral trade, while there is a lot of exchange of cooperation, collaboration with China, at the same time, we cannot ignore the fact that China is a is a country that is a border country neighbor that could be hostile to us and hostile even from an economic point of view. Also, we have to keep in mind that China's influence on international blocks and bodies, whether it is the WTO, whether it is various other entities, China can have an influence where that influence could be used to sometimes reduce the impact on India as far as India benefiting is concerned. So we have to always watch out for that. Also, purely from a security point of view, because when we open up our economy, there are elements of cyber security. There are elements of defense. There are elements of confidentiality, which we have to be very careful about. Giving you an example of TikTok. You know, the world over, everyone is crazy about the TikTok app. Now, just at the start of the pandemic, India banned TikTok. One of the reasons for that is, primary reasons for that is data security and confidentiality. And a large part of the world actually believes that TikTok is spyware and is being used to spy on citizens across the world by China and is being used to get confidential data on people. Now, even the US, where TikTok is very, very popular and where TikTok is very much active even today, there are various states, individual states within the US that are considering actually banning TikTok. So at a state level. So then maybe even if the country as a whole does not, there are certain states which are looking at banning TikTok. Now, that gives you an indication of the level of things we have to keep in mind when it comes to hostile neighbors. So even if economically on the face of it, we see some sort of benefit and it makes economic sense for us to be part of a certain block or an arrangement, at the same time, we have to go beyond the, obvious benefits and look at what we might be giving up in return for, economic benefit. We definitely cannot be giving up national security, data confidentiality, intellectual property confidentiality. We definitely cannot be giving that up as far as, our strategic, our defense positions are concerned. We keep, hearing about tensions on the northeastern borders, in the Arab borders around Arunachal Pradesh, etc. So clearly, how can we allow, an app which has such deep, concerns globally as far as the ethics behind it are concerned and the, sanctity of how honest the app is. So by giving this example of the app, I'm trying to let you know why, when it comes to India and China, while we are trading partners, we have to always keep sight of the risks that are involved in dealing with China or participating in groups or bodies or arrangements and agreements where China has a very large influence, because we have to always be watching our, we have to always be looking over our shoulders to make sure that we did not give up our national security and our confidentiality for the rationales of obvious economic benefit. So definitely one wants collaboration. We have heard of, decades ago, we used to hear the term India-China, bhai bhai, India-Chini, bhai bhai. From an economic cooperation point of view, from a neighborly cooperation point of view. But over decades, things have changed, times have changed. Even India's stand has become a lot more, nationalistic, a lot more individual. So while we do trade, we have to keep in account, we have to protect our domestic security, our domestic producers, even at a level of, when it comes to excessive competition from Chinese products, being dumped in India. You know, the term dumping involves when excessive, products are dumped at a very low cost, which get lapped up by consumers. But obviously that low cost product which is being dumped in the country is being lapped up at the cost of local manufacturing and production. So even if that has some benefit, some short-term benefit for the consumer, it cannot be permitted. So being very, very alert to and scrutinizing what sort of dumping may be happening as far as Chinese products are concerned. Lot of cases are ongoing. Lot of products are under review right now for anti-dumping duties. So when it comes to China, we have to keep a very close. Yes, we want to have access to their markets. Yes, we want to give them access to our markets. But when it is leading to this unorganized, excessive dumping, we have to clamp down on it. We have to protect our local, our domestic producers and manufacturers in the face of these kind of malpractices, which would hurt our local producers and hurt our local industries. So whenever it comes to, our neighbor China, especially China, I would not say the same in the case of Singapore, in the case of Sri Lanka or Bangladesh or, Pakistan, because obviously those economies are way, way backward and not really countries which are very significant trading partners for us and probably more dependent on us than anything. But we have to be extremely careful when it comes to specifically China. Another geopolitical aspect which has assumed a lot of importance is China's positioning when it comes to Sri Lanka. As I was mentioning in a previous chapter, the fact that China has undertaken contracts and signed up with the Sri Lankan government for a lot of infrastructure projects, a lot of them which give China access locationally in very strategic positions, should they choose to keep an eye on India or should they choose to harm India, is an element of extreme concern. So not only do we have to watch our own trade with China, but we have to keep a very close watch on the kind of trading arrangements that China is making with Sri Lanka, the kind of foothold they are getting in China locationally, in the kind of foothold that China is getting in Sri Lanka locationally, in the industries, what sort of access they have. Keep in mind the Sri Lankan border and the Indian border is a very close, seafaring journey away, and the strategic closeness of China to Sri Lanka is something, if you read some of the news reports, if you read some of the studies on this, then clearly something which is not making the Indian government very happy, and we have to watch it very, very closely. So whenever there is a trade agreement, an arrangement, a block where China's involved, then we will have to keep all of these factors in mind and weigh the pros and cons and not just look at the obvious economic advantage on your face, on the face of it, but look at all the other risks which come along with that. Whether it is, giving access to our data through apps, whether it is keeping a watch on. So definitely the fact that China has gone and, got cozied up with the Sri Lankan government and probably, got access to the port regions, access to the regions which are strategically very important as far as spying on India are concerned, or, physically close to, geographically close to India are concerned. Clearly, these are things which would have pushed India also into heightening our own defense presence and our own infrastructure and security presence in the Indian parts, which are geographically closer to those port areas of the Sri Lankan shoreline. So these are all elements which have to be taken jointly into account when it comes to trading. Why so much politics? Why so much geography when we're talking about trading? Because one doesn't work without the other. It is a combination of all of those factors which together lead to and influence international trade. Thank you.